Thank you,
Art. Did you indeed vote?
You're welcome.
Well, Michael, tell me about this brainstorm. How did this production get put together?
Well, Gerard and I were on tour with the Indigo Girls, and we were listening to Jesus Christ Superstar in the rented Volvo that we had, driving about 70 miles an hour every time one of those real raucous songs came on. We just thought, hey, why don't we, wouldn't it be great if we could just get all our, you know, when we were rich and famous, put all this stuff together, get all our friends to do this. And it was just completely fantasy. So
it seems like a really cohesive group. I mean, when you're all not playing, you're all back there with your arms around each other saying, oh, yeah, how's things? Is it a pretty smooth production for that?
What's amazing is to have all of us together. We're all friends in Atlanta, and to have us all together, we work really well together. And there's not many musical communities that can find 80 people that are that actually hang out and are friends.
We all hang out.
That's great. It feels that way too. And Seattle's the same kind of town as Atlanta in that way. So we hope that you'll make yourselves entirely at home here.
We'd like to take Seattle by storm.
We love it here.
Yeah, it's great.
Let me just tell you that this thing started off as a CD. I was never a fan of the show. I just liked the music. We decided to put the show on in Atlanta. We had 6 hours to rehearse it. Then we put it on that night.
Oh, no, really? And Amy and Emily, you must be magical people.
No.
Hardly.
But how did you do that? How did you manage with just that short time?
We went through it once. We made sure everybody knew their parts. You know,
we have a great director, too.
He said, go home and learn your parts. We're going to go through it one time. And that's what we did. And then we did it. And it was kind of, it was a free-for-all the first night, I have to admit.
You mean, out of our gene pool, you found 80 people who would say they're going to do something, and they went home and did it and came back and they had?
We had beer as a lure.
I see.
Free beer at the end of the night.
Free food, too.
Yeah, food helps, too.
We did have a director that was that had about 7 hours to prepare for this. Nicole Torrey, who we've had for the last three shows, she's got a production company in Atlanta called Zoink Productions, and we just threw it together. And I think that I'd never been more terrified that day when we were practicing. And the only thing I can think of is that everyone was so talented, from people just playing crowd people and lepers, and to Jesus. We didn't let anything bad happen. We really pulled it off.
Yeah, you must have really created a safe atmosphere for people to launch out like that.
That's true.
You make us feel really safe too with your music. Is that do you have any motivations in that direction, or?
You mean theater?
No,
we want to make people feel safe.
Yeah, well, you're getting the guns out of our way for one thing. Yeah.
We want people to feel to believe in themselves and feel self-esteem, and we think that if you do that, that will help some of the root of our problem in the world with the guns.
You're right.
We've got one more song, right?
Oh, we couldn't stand it. Oh, please do one more. Please do one more. Please, please, please.
We've got to stretch it out for 5 minutes, so we'll do a medley at the end of Beatles songs.
Sure.
This song is called I Don't Know How to Love Him. I was talking to someone backstage who agreed with me that they never liked that song. That was the hit of the show. And Emily somehow makes the song move me to sing a line like, I couldn't cope, just couldn't cope, and make someone believe it. That's, I mean, really.
Thanks, Michael.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
So we're going to do I Don't Know How to Love Him. I think we're ready. We've got Brian Halloran, Bill Taff from the band Smoke in Atlanta. They're joining us. Hope you can hear them. Let's go.